From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, this afternoon, this evening, we thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. I ask the Lord you will speak to us, you will affect our lives, and that you will change us. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name, somebody said. Oh, somebody said. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Some bass. Thank you. Wonderful. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So the Sabbath day service is compulsory for all church workers. So we're going to mark a register after church and see those who are not here, and they probably should fast for 40 days as their punishment. As a Calvin, what do you think? 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. Okay, we're also trying to make it a composition of, you know, younger people, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a younger version of the church, all right? So we need young men like that, nice fancy hair. We like people like that to come. So there's another one there too, nice hair. I wish I had something like yours, you know. Maybe I should become young again, keep my hair like that. Yeah, like you. Who are you looking at? Andrew, is that your friend? Is that your neighbor? Did you invite him? Does he also have private stuff like you? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. You're welcome to church. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I want to read it again. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. May you gain understanding tonight. May you receive understanding tonight. May you receive knowledge tonight. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is somebody who is going to be a judge. Many of the stories that we know about Jesus is a very nice Jewish guy who went around helping people and feeding the poor, taking people to restaurants and things like that. Christmas, we celebrate Christmas and remember. Is that Candace? It's been a while. How are you? You're good? Baby sleeping? Where's Rachel? Hey, my lawyer friend. What we know about Jesus is that baby in a manger who, the three wise men. They were wise men, but not three. You know that? You know they were not three? They were not three. No. Sunday school, they told us it's three. It's wrong. Check your Bible and see. The Bible always says wise men from the east. But because I'm sure they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they said it's three. Yeah. It's like how people tell us that if you are not baptized, then you are not a Christian. It's not true. Understanding is coming. It's flowing right now. Yeah. And there came three wise men. Is there three? Anita McLean. He said, and came wise men from the east. It is Sunday school. That is it. Three wise men. Three wise men. Three. They were not three. Mm-hmm. So you realize that even with all of us, when it comes to information, we don't get the details of things. We brush over things a lot. Yeah. We brush over things a lot. Are you there? I think I came across a guy who was talking about Guyana. You know, these days we are trying to feature on the web because of our oil. And so when you are in this country, you should follow. When we put the discussion of the country on the platform, many people didn't say anything. Because it's, you understand what's going on. Yeah. But we are living right here. People are coming into our country. They are coming to take something we call oil and become rich. And you and I are probably not going to even feel that we are an oil country. I tell you, because the University of Guyana is even late in starting courses that will prepare people for the oil industry. They should have started these courses about 5 years ago. We are not going to build buildings. I hear by 2020 we are going to start drilling. Oil is going to come out. 2020, 2 years from now, we see oil. So there was a white guy who did a short video on Guyana. And he says, we are the poorest country in the southern hemisphere. Hey, it's not easy. But he said something that is very interesting. He spoke about the value, the number of barrels that we're going to produce. And the value of it. And he says the value of it could make every single Guyanese $250,000 rich. 750,000 people by the billions of dollars that it is under the sea. It is worth every Guyanese out of the 750,000. If you are alive, you will get $250,000 if the money was to come to all of us. That is the potential of the oil that we have been discovered. It is possible to make you and I $250,000 richer. Yeah, even if they give us $50,000, they should take the 200 and give us the 50. Hey, it would change every Guyanese's life. You see, this is going to bring white people into our country. It's going to bring a lot of planes into our country. It's going to bring people. People will fight to come to Guyana. It's going to open us up. But if you don't take it, we'll be right here. We don't even know that we produce oil. When you go say, are you from Guyana? Hey, I hear you are oil. So, oil? Okay. What? Vegetable oil? Or cooking oil? Coconut oil. So yeah, that's what my mother is cooked with it. Yeah. So information is very important. That is why we have books. And no matter how we speak about books, some people still don't read. The information is scattered in the books. You'll be surprised what you find in the book. So the Bible is there. But we walk around and saying three wise men, when there's no three wise men. If it wasn't me who was saying, you'd have challenged the person outside the church. You, what you know about the church? You know anything about the Bible? Who you say is not three? You just go to church, but arrest yourself. You fight the person. But clearly, there is no number given. The Bible did not say that. It's human beings who have said that. It's just like people say, God help those who help themselves. There's no scripture like that. There is no scripture like that in the Bible. You can do your research, your search concordance. You will not find anything like that. God help those who help themselves. It's not true. It is like God cannot help you, so you have to help yourself. If God wants to help you, He will help you without you helping yourself. It's just normal, and it should be human that you don't sit down and wait for anything. But you should. You have hands, you have legs, you have a brain, that you should rise up and do something. That is very important. But if God says, sit down and I'll do something, you can sit down and He can do something for you. He did it for His people 40 years in the wilderness. It's not in the Bible. So what else is not in the Bible? You should find out. So the Bible says that Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead? So this baby Jesus, who there was angels singing back and forth, this Jesus who was doing this, He healed a blind man, He raised people from the Lazarus from the dead, He fed 5,000, took another 4,000 to new thriving restaurant. Somebody was telling me the other day, they didn't know that Jesus fed 5,000 and 4,000. And I'm sure you also don't know. Jesus didn't only feed 5,000. He fed another 4,000. Hey, information is coming. Knowledge is coming. Yeah. If only you read your Bible and take note of what you're reading, you'll be surprised what is there. And even the 5,000, it is excluding women and children. So He fed more than 5,000, really. Peter also preached. 3,000 gave their lives to Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And then another time He preached, 5,000 people gave their life to Christ. And then multitudes. Yeah. 4,000 is right there. I have helpers at the back. And they did eat. Hey. I'm sorry. Okay. And they did eat. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. So if every man out of the four was married, 8,000 people. If everybody had one child, plus four, 12,000 people. Who takes 12,000 people to a restaurant? Even one, your girlfriend, you can't even take her to the restaurant. Even Compton. You can't buy one bum and chip from Compton. You're fasting. Masha, can we come on? Yeah. $300 cook-up. But what we are trying to say tonight is that Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. Now, if you, again, you have to be very inquisitive. You have to want to know more about God, to want to find out about the words and the things you see in the Bible. So the Bible says that He shall judge the quick and the dead. The word quick there doesn't mean quick. It's like, oh, you coming? Come quick. No. It's not going somewhere quickly. Quick there means those who are alive. To quicken means to bring to life. So the word quick means life. So Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. Understanding is flowing tonight. Those that are alive and those that are dead, Jesus is going to come and judge when He appears to set up His kingdom. Now, my message is God or Christ the judge. Christ the judge. Yeah. Now, if man in his sinful state practices a system of judgment whilst on earth, why do you think God will not have a system of judgment himself? Don't think. Or in other words, let me start from the beginning. If human beings have a system of judgment, then that is what it is now. We have judgment. We have Judge Sound Magistrate Court. We have Wales Court. It's right behind our church in Wales. We have this court. We have that court. We have that court. You see, if you don't want to go to the court, all you have to do is stay away from trouble. And you escape the court or escape the judgment of a magistrate for the rest of your life. Now, the people on earth, they have designed this judgment system to be able to pronounce judgment on people. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is also a judge. And he also is also going to pronounce judgment on the living and the dead. It means that one day, Christ Jesus, as the judge, is going to judge you and I. All you have to do not to go to Georgetown Magistrate Court is to stay away from trouble. But the question for you tonight is, can you stay away from Christ judging you on that day? Do you think you will be able to escape the judgment of Jesus Christ on that day? The Bible says whether you are alive or you are dead, he will judge you. So it's not like, oh, me, I'm not alive, I'm dead, so he can't get me. Whether you are alive or not, he will get you wherever, whichever realm you live, whichever realm you exist in. Jesus Christ, and as the judge, is going to judge you and I. Now, if you have been able to escape judgment in Georgetown for the rest of your life, you are not surely going to escape the judgment of Jesus Christ. You are not. You cannot. You see, and so sometimes you say, oh, man, you stay away from these young people who are bad, bad friends, this, that, that. All of that is good. Stay away from young friends, bad friends. Stay away from, you know, sometimes the liming spots. Stay away from liming. Because sometimes you just make yourself a candidate of the police when you lime at certain corners that are not good corners. That type of thing can only make you escape judgment here on earth. But when Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead, whether you are you lime or not, whether you are with the dead or you are of the living, whether you are alive or you are dead, whether you are sleeping or you are awake, no matter wherever you exist, this is a way that the Bible is teaching us that no matter where you are or no matter who you are, you will face judgment. You face judgment. That is the explanation of he will judge the living and the dead. You are either living or you are dead. There's no two in between. There's no coma. There's no unconsciousness. Wherever you are, you fall under this category. And Jesus or Christ the judge is going to judge you. Now, many people speak well of themselves. You know, everybody says something nice about themselves. Do you know that? Okay, let me give you a scripture. Anita, I like my scripture. I'll give you a scripture. Christ the judge. Are you ready for the scripture? Luke chapter 16, verse 15. When it comes to judgment, if I say, Coco, you're a bad girl. You say, me? What do you mean I'm a bad girl? Which of the bad am I? It's not very easy for somebody to tell you you are this. And then you say, it's true. The Bible says, and he said unto them, thank you, Coco, you are they which justify yourselves before men. So it's not very easy for one human being to pass judgment. No thief has ever stolen before. Nobody sleeping is sleeping. Yeah. When you see people sleeping, they say, hey, you are sleeping. They say, no, I'm not sleeping. Meanwhile, you are sitting next to the person that's doing it. I said, you sleeping, sir. No, I mean you sleeping. You are there with justify yourself. So it's like when you are trying to tell somebody that this is the situation, they say, no. It's not like that. They're justifying yourselves. But he says, but God, he knows your hearts. He knows your heart, and for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You see, so I am talking to those who think that you can escape the judgment of Jesus Christ by justifying yourself. People say that, you know what, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I pray in my house, I read my Bible, I don't do anything wrong. You can justify yourself before me. You can justify yourself before the brother who is inviting you to church. But the Bible says God knows your sinful heart. He knows your sinful heart. When it comes to God, you cannot escape judgment. Yeah. Sometimes something says somebody steals a phone. They say, who stole it? Nobody. Nobody. Hey, we can come to church. And then somebody will come and report, there was money in my bag. The money is not there. If you look at people's faces, you can't pinpoint who took the money. Because people's faces don't tell you who is a thief. Yeah, people are. If you say it's you, say, oh. Some people will start crying immediately. That is why Christ is the judge. And one day, all those nice faces, all those appearances that look like you are genuine and you are innocent, one day, all of those things won't matter anymore. You cannot justify yourself anymore. And even sometimes when we are doing the bad things that we are doing, we have reasons why we are doing them. Many people don't go to church because they say church people are hypocrites. Yeah, that's what you say. I'm wondering whether you are not one of the biggest hypocrites also. You analyze it and see. If somebody who goes to church is a hypocrite, what about you who don't go to church? So somebody who goes to church, hears the word of God, they pray, they give offering, they do this, they do that. If they are one of the biggest hypocrites, what about you who sit in the house every Sunday? Then we can't classify your hypocrisy. It's an upper level. So that which people look at as, oh no, he's a good guy. Oh no, I mean, how can you say that this person is a bad boy? How can you say this? I mean, he's not done anything wrong. The Bible says that which is highly esteemed among men. That thing where people say, oh, he's good. Oh, he's not bad. He's done his best. Why are you crucifying him? Why are you saying bad things about him? I mean, he has tried. He was doing what he could do. The Bible says that which is esteemed among us. When Christ the judge comes, he will say, what are you talking about? To me, it's nothing. He says that is an abomination, that which we praise people about. So there are many things that we praise ourselves about that it's nothing before God. Nothing. And if you and I do not start seeing and making ourselves come to the point where we are not happy and impressed about our own things, one day we'll stand before God and be surprised. If you allow human things to raise you up and make you feel good, you'll be surprised that you'd rather be following human approval than godly approval. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's so cute. Oh my, what a man of God. Hey, what a preacher. Oh man, what an anointing. The Bible says that for that which is highly respected among men, it is something that God looks at and he said, what is that? So maybe you think that you are Mr. Goody-Goody. You think that you are a nice guy. You don't do anything wrong. You think that, you don't do drugs. When you look at your neighbors, you look at some of your classmates and your friends, you say, I don't thief. I'm better than that guy. I'm better than him. I don't live in the ghettos where people thief. I live in a better place, in a good place. The Bible says all these things that we look at and make ourselves feel good, Christ the judge, is an abomination to him. And you see, even when it comes to judgment, you see, people can defend themselves. That's why we have lawyers. That's why we have lawyers. All you have to do is just get money and a good lawyer. You look innocent. You'll be acquitted of your wrongdoing. Yeah, O.J. Simpson. The people, they faced him. If OJ, they have faced O.J., now they managed to get O.J. to go to prison. All he needed, all he had was a good lawyer. And when they brought the evidence, the glove they found on the crime scene, they brought the glove and they delayed the judgment. I hear they made OJ eat something and drink something, so he became a little puffy and fatter. So when they say, okay, this was the glove found at a crime scene, so let him put on the glove, let's see. It's his size. So they say, okay, bring the glove. The man walked to the front of the court majestically. They brought the glove. That was one of the greatest evidences that actually acquitted O.J. Simpson. When he put his hand inside, it wasn't fitting. So, is it Johnny Cochran? Johnny Cochran's lawyer said. He said, Your Honor, behold the evidence of the prosecution. Check and see whether it's my client who murdered the girl. Then everybody sits down and look at, the glove can't even fit. How can we say it's him? Now, when Jesus Christ comes, whether the glove can fit or not. I say, when Jesus comes, whether the glove can fit or not, you can't escape. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. Whether you have ever seen a glove, whether you have ever killed somebody before, no matter whatever you are, the one Jesus comes, he is going to judge the way he judges. And you are either going to heaven or you are going to hell. So you have to ask yourself tonight, that if Christ Jesus descends in his glory to judge the living and the dead, where will I stand? You see, as I'm standing here and preaching, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do. I can pray I can say, Lord, thank you for everybody. Bless everybody. Meanwhile, God doesn't want to bless everybody. That is why it was very interesting when Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. And there was this guy who was around there for 38 years. The pool, by tradition, was always stirred up by angels. And when the pool was stirred up by angels, if we had that these days, we'd be very happy. There were things in those days that we don't have. It's serious. That you have a creek. Angels will come and play inside the creek. And anybody who is sick, who will jump into the water, will come out healed. The pool of Bethesda, that's the pool. So you don't need to go to Georgetown Hospital. You don't need to go to Woodlands. You don't need to go to Mercy Hospital where they don't have mercy on you. All you need is the pool of Bethesda. Now, when Jesus went to the pool, there were many people there who were waiting to get in the pool. Now, the pool was such that if the angels come and they stir the water, it's just a few people who actually can have access to the water. After that, the power is gone. So this man had been by the poolside for 38 years. Can you believe it? That a person is waiting 38 years to be healed. So the Bible said that Jesus came to the pool and he asked the guy, "Ah, Charlie, what happening? Do you really want to be healed? Because if you come to a pool, a poolside, and you see somebody who has been there for 38 years, the most straightforward question you can ask the person is, do you really want to be saved? Do you want to be healed?" He says, when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been there now a long time in that case. So he said unto him, "Do you really want to be made whole?" Yeah. Then the guy said yes, and he began to give his excuses. So Jesus healed him. But you ask yourself, why didn't Jesus heal the others way around? He was not the only one. It was a pool where normally you encounter sick people. So when you say, "God bless you," you should be careful who you are saying God bless you to. God is probably not blessing the person. Otherwise, all of us who come to church and pay tithe, all of us who come to church and give offering, we will be stinking rich by now. So how come the Bible says, "Giving it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down"? What? Where is your good measure pressed down? Where is? Show me your good measure pressed down. Shake it together and running over. Because God, Christ Jesus, who is the judge, he knows the hearts of people. And therefore, we may all seem to be doing one thing. He from heavens above knows the difference in the hearts of the people. It may look on the outward that we are all doing the same thing and therefore we all deserve the same thing. But Jesus, who knows our heart, as he judges perfectly, he knows that only 3 people really deserve something. Only 4 people really are supposed to be blessed. The rest of 85 or 90 people, they don't deserve any blessing. So you are here this evening. You should look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. If you are sitting next to somebody, look at your neighbor. Let me tell you something about your neighbor. And you should be very afraid of your neighbor. You see? You see? One day, or let's say right now, if Jesus comes right now, you'll be surprised that your neighbor will go through the roof and you'll be sitting now. Sitting down like you're watching Mission Impossible. It's true. We are all sitting down here. The Bible says when Jesus comes, 2 people will be lying on the bed. One will be taking and one will be left. Because when you see me and somebody or you and somebody, you think that we are okay. You think that everybody is. You can't look at people's face and decide whether they will go to heaven or hell. But one day when the righteous judge comes, he is going to select the good ones or the righteous, those who believe in him. He's going to select those from those who don't believe in him. You'll be very surprised that you are sitting right now here in the church with somebody. You think that, "Oh, wow, human beings, that's nice. Ooh, shkush, kish, kash." And if Jesus was to come right now, you see the roof will open up. And you see that young girl that you think, even after church, you want to hustle, she gone. She gone. She gone. Can you see from here who will get the best of rewards when we get to heaven? But everybody deserves it. Oh, if you look at Peter. Oh, look at Peter. Oh, look. My nice little innocent girl like the. Look. Oh. I tell you. You see? She deserves some rewards. Then maybe you look at Michelle and say,
Chin too right. Chin looking too.
But who's judging? You'd be surprised what Sister Michelle will get and what Peter will then get. So tonight, if you are here, I want to ask you a question. If Jesus comes right now, will you go with him or you will stay here? You think you have a nice face, so it's only nice face people who go to heaven? You think it's only ugly people who go to bad places? You look so nice and an ugly person will go to heaven, and you nice person will go to hell. Because Christ the judge looks at the heart. What is in your heart tonight? What is in your heart tonight? Is Jesus in your heart? Have you ever invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to come and live in your heart? Have you ever done that before? If you have not done that, I want to encourage you to do it tonight. Otherwise, one day, you'll find yourself in hell. Stand to your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. We can't deceive Jesus at all. At all. By your face, by your singing, by your dancing, by your jumping, by your offerings. You can't judge Jesus at all. You cannot beat Jesus' judgment. So before you find yourself in the wrong place, I just want to ask you to close your eyes tonight. Just close your eyes. Before you find yourself in the wrong place, you find yourself in hell, ask yourself this same question. Have I ever invited Jesus Christ into my heart? Because if he looks into your heart and he can't find anything that looks like him, then you are not his own. And that you don't deserve to be with him. You want to say, Bishop, tonight, I want to invite Jesus Christ into my heart. I don't want to be the one that God will judge and send into the lake of fire. I want to receive Jesus tonight. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you want me to pray with you, if you want to receive Jesus, just lift up your right hand wherever you're standing. And say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Bible says that I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open, I will come in. He wants to come in. Thank God your hand is up. God bless you for lifting up your hands. He's just about to enter into your heart. Bishop, pray for me. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to pray with you. All I want you to do is just come, walk to me here. Come to the front. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. Right here. Just stand right here. Give him your heart today. Oh, clap for them as they come.
Give him your life.
Clap for them.
Today.
Clap for them. Young men, young ladies, clap for them as they come. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, clap. Are your hands for you? Oh, are the two hands for you? Put them together as these folks walk to the front to receive Jesus Christ. Come on to Jesus. Let's sing it one more time, all of us together.
Come on to Jesus.
Give him your heart and give him your life today. To Jesus, let him have his way. The Bible says that remember God in the days when you are young. These are the right days to remember God, because the time is coming. You can't walk like you are walking anymore. You can't see like you are seeing anymore. This is the right time. This is the right moment. So those in front, these my young brothers, my sisters here, close your eyes and lift up your two hands and say this prayer with me. This is the prayer that you are saying to invite Jesus into your heart. so that when he comes again to judge the quick and the dead, once he sees his spirit inside of you, he knows that you are one of his own. So pray this prayer with me, church. Join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe God raised him from the dead. And I invite Jesus right now to come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From tonight, I believe that by this prayer, I am now a child of God. I am born again. My name is written in the book of life. And heaven is my destination. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for these men and these ladies who step forward to invite you into their hearts, and they have done so. I pray that, Lord, you will engulf them with your presence. You engulf them everything God. Let them be godly. Let them follow after godliness, for which there is profit here on earth and in the world that is to come. Lord, let your hand, your mighty hand, rest upon their lives. May they never fall by the side of the road. May they not backslide. And may they follow you for the rest of their days. Thank you for saving them. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.